One of the greatest things that you could do as a salesperson is to figure out how people buy, when people buy, and if you can get ahead of that purchase and send them some information to get them in the doors to buy your product.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today I'm sitting in my office and I was looking at some notes and I was going over some information from some people that I've worked with recently. And I've seen a common trend in business, and it doesn't matter the widget, the gizmo, the product, the service. This happens everywhere and it's utterly surprising to me. And I don't understand this. Okay. So I'm going to lay a couple of things out for you, but then I'm going to help you out with a couple of things that you could do to make sure you do not make this mistake. And first and foremost is client acquisition costs are on the rise. And when you go to the Facebook, the Google, the YouTube, the Instagram, whatever the you want to put in front or in the back, you're going to find that the cost goes up roughly 15, 20, 30% per year. And the cost of acquiring a client, depending upon the industry, could be $50, could be $200, could be $400, could be $1,000. And so this is what companies do. Companies go online, they find a marketing company, and they're like, hey, can you go get us some impressions? Can you go get us, 10,000 impressions? And hopefully that'll lead to a click. Because, the Google, the YouTube, those companies, they don't sell clicks, they sell impressions. And so, the company buys up a bunch of impressions, gets some clicks, and gets people in the door. And for today's example, we are going to use tables and chairs, because that's what I'm looking at. So you sell furniture. So a couple comes in, they're like, hey, I think we want to buy some chairs. So you're like, fantastic, let's sell you some chairs. So they spend a couple of grand, they buy some chairs, really nice. I don't know, they got massagers in them, they tilt, they recline, they got TVs in them, whatever. And the people walk away, never to be heard from and seen again. So the management team goes, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we go to the marketplace and buy some more impressions and get some more clicks? Well, this is the most utterly absurd thing that I could ever imagine, because companies sell other products. And if they were smart, what they would do is they would do some data mining. They would take the time to say, okay, couples who come in and buy chairs also within 6 months buy a table. And they would take that data and they would retarget these people through various different means, through social media, through mail, physical mail, through emails, put them in the CRM. And they would do everything they can to get back out in front of these people. In the world of marketing, they call this RFM, recency, frequency, monetization. And there is a higher propensity from somebody who has bought from you today to buy from you tomorrow than there is to acquire a new client on the marketplace through impressions and clicks. And you have a captive buyer. You have somebody who's in the audience and who's ready to buy. And, if you're selling somebody something that's good for them, that it's a good product, it's a good service, that really does help them out, there's nothing wrong with offering more products. And I see, for whatever reason, that there is a fight between managers sometimes and salespeople and even business owners and consultants where they're like, this sounds good, but it's going to take some work to get some effort to get this information. And instead of sitting down and going through some regression analysis or paying a statistician or uploading the information to IBM Watson, which would not take very much time, not very much money, it would make sense to find the pools of buyers to sell them the product that they're going to buy anyway. So why give them the opportunity? If 6 months from today, someone's going to go buy a table, why wouldn't you start sending them an information in 5 months? Why wouldn't you start sending them coupons at 5.5 months? Nope, Scott, that just takes too much work. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go on the marketplace and buy more impressions and get more clicks. And, I see this in so many different industries and so many different places. And listen to this. This is a problem for salespeople too, because salespeople look around and they're like, you know what? It's the job of the company to bring people in to me. And that is a phenomenon that will get you stuck in sales, and it'll be a problem for a long time, because most salespeople don't think through and go, you know what, if I have my own data sets, I have my own information, I have my own leads, I really have my own business. So like when you're in sales and you don't have your own leads, you're borrowing a business. You're borrowing the good name of the company that you work for. And this is a good reason why you really need your own CRM. This is why you really need your own lead source. And so check this out. If you don't know this, I'm going to help you out. If you do know this, just, you know, sit tight. We're going to get to a reason why you should be paying attention in a minute here. So you can go to the Facebook, the YouTube, the LinkedIn, the Instagram, the Snapchat, any of the's, and you could take and upload information of a pool of people, and they're going to build what looks like a lookalike audience. And that lookalike audience is going to be similar in demographics, age, you know, income, places that they live, and psychographics, which are like things that they like to buy and, you know, what kind of yogurt that they eat and the toppings they like on their pizza and the color of shoes that they buy. That's psychographics. When you have your own data points, you can market to these people yourself. And so depending upon the laws, depending upon the state that you're in, I'm not an attorney, you really want to check into this, is how you could deal with email addresses from your buyers. Now, if you know about all this stuff, welcome back. We're going to have a little bit of a conversation. So let's say that you work somewhere and you don't have access to the emails, which, you know, legal reasons, I get that. So there's ways for you to logically think around this. So like, let's say I work for a company, XYZ company sells carpet, and XYZ company says, hey, you know what, we are going to protect our leads. Anybody you bring in is all you. So this is the way that I would work around this, depending upon if it was legal. Once again, not an attorney. Check with your state, check with your jurisdiction, check with your locality. I would say, hey, buyer, thanks for buying these chairs from me or these carpets from me. Could you give me the name and the phone number and email address of a friend or relative that could be buying more in the future once I've delivered all my promises and once I've taken care of you the right way? And they're like, sure. You gather enough of this information on your own, you have a list that you can turn into a lookalike list. You do your own lead gen and you keep track of the people that buy from you, you have your own lookalike list, okay? So you take detailed notes. This is the part where most salespeople are lazy. They'll never do this. And so it makes it really easy for you. You take detailed notes and you start paying attention that when somebody buys a product, a widget, a gizmo, then they buy the next product. And you know who's really good at this? Amazon. Look at Amazon. They recommend stuff to you all the time. And do you get mad? No. You're like, oh, you know what? I have XLR cables that I need to buy for my microphones. You know what I'd really like? I would really like some foam covers for my microphones now. That would be smart, right? That would be a good thing to have. Oh, you know what else did I need? I need more SD cards for my Zoom H6 recorder. Like, and nobody gets mad when you do it the right way. And when you get really good on the upsell, these are the things that'll help you out because you have the data points. You have the information. You can sell to the people who've already bought and go back to them. Say, hey, look, I know you bought the carpet. I know you bought the chairs. Right now we got tables on sale that are going to match. We also have credenzas. We also have armoires. We also have bookcases. I'd love to get you back in. Let's go ahead and round out your whole entire collection. But no. Most companies don't think that way. They go back to the marketplace, buy impressions, and hope for clicks. So as a salesperson, if you really want to be a closer in sales, here's what you do. You take the detailed notes. You start looking for the commonalities, when people buy, seasons people buy, timeframes that people buy, and you start preempting that information. You start marketing to them yourself. You start figuring out a way to go after the buyers and bring them back in and acquire another sale instead of waiting for the sale to happen or instead of waiting for that person to get taken off the marketplace by somebody else who's willing to put out the information and willing to have the conversation. You know, I have this belief of selling until people say no. You know, I listened a lot to different sales trainers, coaches, mentors all through the years. And one of the things that I've heard is don't be a pig. And there is a point where you're being greedy. There is a point where you're going to the absurd, but there's also a point where you're serving the person by helping them get what they need. Now, I do know moving forward, like we're in the first quarter of 2020 when you're listening. I normally don't put the date, but it's very relevant to what's going on. And right now, money's cheap. Money is cheap. Interest rates are like, I don't know, 5%, 4.5%. And at some point, interest rates are going to go back up. I'm not like, oh my goodness, they're going up tomorrow. Like, no, this isn't some scarcity conversation. This isn't meant to freak you out. But if I was sitting down with a buyer and let's say that they wanted to buy chairs and they wanted to buy carpet and they wanted to buy things for their house, I'm doing them a favor to get them a lower interest rate if it fits within their budget, if it's the right thing for them to do, right? So if they come back to me a year from now, there's a good chance that interest rates could go up 1%, 0.5%, and it's going to cost them more money to do it later than it is going to be today. And so, you know, you have the conversation. You go, look, I really want to help you out. You found some really nice chairs. You got some nice carpet. We were able to get you on an easy payment plan with this interest rate, you know. And here's the thing. Today it's at 5%. I don't know what it's going to be at a year. You know, it's not very much for a few bucks more. You can get the credenza, the bookcase, the table that you wanted, and you don't have to worry about the cost of inflation. Whoever's coming in here a year from now, they're going to pay more. Okay. So that's the conversation. Let's say they're like, hey, you know, Scott, I'm not really interested in buying. I just want the chairs and I just want the carpet. Well, here's what I would do. I would take that and I would put it in a Tickler file and I would say 6 months from now, I'm watching the interest rates. I would email those people. I would call them. I would text them and say, hey, look, you know, I know that we were taking a look at, you know, carpet and chairs and you said no to the credenza and you said no to the armoire and you said no to the bookcase. Why don't we do this? Come back in. You know, I'm looking at the interest rates are going to go back up. I can still get you in on the plan that we had previous. People don't want to lose what they already have. And, you know, I'm using the chairs and the armoires and the tables as an example. Whatever your product, whatever your service, your whatever your widget is, fill that in instead. And you're going to have to come up with your own word tracks. I gave you some of mine. You know, I sat down with a billion dollar financial company that lends money to people. And they told me, they said, hey, Scott, we don't call it financing. We've done all the research. We call it easy payment plans. So if you noticed in my word track, I use the term easy payment plans. So like you really have to think through this, but most companies don't want to do it. They want to go after cheap clicks on the marketplace. Now, eventually, those cheap clicks are going to go away. Eventually, the cost of marketing online is going to match the cost of marketing in print, on newspaper, on radio, on television. And the cheap clicks are going to go away. What's going to happen is the buyer data is going to get so good that you can target people who are left-handed, blue-eyed, 6 feet tall, have a size 12 shoe, and like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And that's going to cost for you to buy. So why not get into the game and get this stuff figured out now? You know, people, when you're selling to them, like if you're buying chairs and carpet today, you are less adverse to telling me no. When you're buying right now, you've already got them over the resistance hurdle. You've already got them over the information. And if you have a good drip campaign, if you've got a very good email sequence, if you got a good follow-up sequence after people buy to sell them more, you're going to be that much more ahead of the game. But most salespeople don't think like this. Most salespeople think like, what's the easiest way for me to close a deal today? Most companies think the same way. And I want to challenge you to think a little bit differently when it comes to dealing with the acquisition of a client and dealing with the way that the people are marketed to.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.